The following is an at-will presentation.
Welcome back to The Drop-In. This is episode 10. Today I'm speaking with Tanner Cohen. He is the author of the best-selling novel White Girl Problems. He is also business partners with his brother and Josh Ostrowski, a.k.a. The Fat Jewish, in a new brand they call White Girl Rosé. But before we get to Tanner, I wanted to tell you a story about the last time I dealt with wine. A few months ago, I took my girlfriend Alyssa to Napa Valley because I am a great boyfriend. And we went to one of these fancy schmancy vineyards where you go on the tour and they talk to you all about the wine and the stems and all that stuff. When we first arrived, we're on our first tour, our first fancy wine tour. I couldn't even understand what these guys were saying. They're speaking basically a different language with their wine talk. Until a couple of days later, when I started speaking just like they did without even really realizing it, you know? And all of a sudden, I start saying things like, well, don't these grapes have the Midas touch? And everyone around me would be like, oh, cheers to that. And then I'd say things like, aren't these stems just divine? Simply divine. And people didn't look at me strangely. They actually were like, oh, he's one of us. He is one of us. He gets it. He knows wine. On the last day of the trip, I'd found myself saying, oh, this vineyard was noble with unparalleled bounty. Anyways, I changed. I changed out there. Napa Valley will change a man. Anyway, if you haven't had White Girl Rosé or Family Time is Hard, that is the full name of the wine, try them out. At least to bring them to your next dinner party and get that laugh that you've been looking for from the whole crowd. Ladies and gentlemen, Tanner Cohen. Are you a big whiskey drinker?
No.
Are you a big drinker?
Not really. Not big in the sense that I know what I'm drinking and think about it and care. I don't even really love being drunk. It's like once or twice a month that I think, oh, I'd love to have a drink and feel drunk or be tipsy. I mostly just want to smoke weed. Like at the end of a long day, I smoke weed. I don't drink normally, but I drink socially.
How often do you have long days?
Okay. every day? Every single day of my life.
So you smoke every day?
Almost, yeah.
It's a part of your lifestyle.
It's a part of my lifestyle.
And do you have a routine that comes along with it? Is it you get home, you
No,
pop,
it's a boring
a
routine,
dinner?
But I guess it's a routine. Yeah, I puncture the Lean Cuisine plastic wrap with my teeth.
Then you pack the bowl.
And then I pack the bowl right after that. Then I put it in my microwave, and I eat it. And then I call my mom every night.
Okay, and so when you drink, though,
yeah,
what are you ordering? Are you one of the guys who knows exactly what they order when they go to the restaurant?
I go through phases when I know exactly what I'm going to order. But I find that when you are in that mode and you're drinking the same thing every time, you're getting a Hendrix martini with like a little bit of olive juice, no olives. I go through that phase sometimes. It's nice because you don't have to think about what you're getting, but you don't necessarily want that drink every time. But it's almost worth it to drink something you're not that into just so you don't have to like have that moment where you like don't know what you're ordering from the waiter. So yeah.
That's an awkward moment.
I just don't think about what I'm drinking that much. I definitely don't really what can I say like all kinds of words on this? I definitely don't fuck with like cocktails that have 10 ingredients and different textures and moments and like a rising and falling
aromas.
Action. But I like stiff drinks that I like that I can gauge my drunkenness on. Mostly I drink martinis because they're easy to gauge and wine. Both of those drinks are easy to plan around.
You're technically a wine guy though now.
I know. I'm a wine guy because I and my brother and our partners and co-founders in the wine company that we started.
That we still haven't said the name of. Go ahead.
We're called Swish, but our wines are White Girl Rosé and Babe Rosé with Bubbles. We also have a Pinot Grigio that we launched over the holidays. That was called Family Time is Hard. So we started the company not because we were interested in wine necessarily or wine making, but we thought we could start a rosé company, really give life to a rosé culture that was like already kind of starting to be articulated, but no one had created like the easy, basic, kind of seminal rosé that you just brought to every party, drank at the pool, that you could remember the name of, remember the label of, and recognize whether you saw it across the liquor store or on someone's Instagram account. So something really easy for a demographic that I've had a lot of experience interacting with because of the writing work that I've done over the past, you know, 5 or 6 years. So it came about more as a marketing exercise than anything. I like rosé, and I always have, and I drink our products all the time, but it's not because I care about wine. I like the lifestyle that we've created and that we sell.
What were the beginnings of you? Did you come from humble beginnings? Did you come from privileged beginnings?
Privileged. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, privileged for sure. I always had...
A chip on your shoulder?
I've always had a chip on my shoulder. I've always seen the worst in people. And I've always been a victim.
What does that mean?
I can't continue this joke anymore because that's so not who I am at all.
People are listening to it like, wait. that's why podcasts are hard.
Yeah, but what I should say is I've always been super sarcastic.
Yes, well, we now know that.
Yeah,
if you didn't before.
I have been privileged, and the reason I know that is because I always had the space and encouragement to do what made me happy creatively. I was always supported by my parents and the people they surrounded me with and the people in my school. Growing up, I went to the same school from first through 12th grade. It was really like...
Homeschool.
It was my bedroom.
That's yeah, school of hard knocks.
We lived in... It was all one room.
It was called Room.
It was my first book.
You went to the same school between grade 1 and grade 12?
Yeah.
Where?
In Annapolis, Maryland. And my graduating class was like 45 people. Most of them I'd been in school with since I was 6.
And serious relationships with
at that everyone.
Point.
No, I mean, you go in and out of everyone's life.
It's like, where are you going with that?
At some point, you know, it's like there's not enough people for you to, like, choose who you're going to be friends with. So you end up being friends with everyone basically at some point in your life and having a moment with them. But that means that you also have friends that you've been close with for 12 years. So it was a pretty amazing experience. And
it was. Overall, well, I mean, are you still friends with these people?
None of them. No.
Because it was just too much.
Yeah.
No,
there's no reason why I'm not friends with anyone from high school.
Are you the one guy, by the way, who's not friends with the rest of the 44 people? You probably are.
No, because I don't think they're friends. Because it's really a school that, like, teaches you to be the most individual, like, special, follow your dreams, do your own thing type of person.
Sounds
you could
expensive.
Imagine. I think it, yeah, I think it was probably, I think it was very expensive. As
well,
schools go.
Hopefully you make a lot of money on white girls, and you pay your parents back.
Yeah, hopefully.
I know parents.
I don't have those types of parents. I do pay them back in every way that I can, when I can, and it's important to me to pay them back. But I've always had parents that want me to pay it forward, as the, you know, one says.
As Kevin
sometimes.
Spacey suggests.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have had better parents as far as, like, being supported in the arts and being supported as, like, a creative individual.
Okay. And when did you come out?
I was 19. I met a guy who I thought, oh, this could be, like, a boyfriend, and that's when I decided to come out.
What do you mean? So before that, it was just...
I had never been in, like, a relationship. This was the first time I...
Well, you'd also be in the same school with 45
No, there was
people.
Nobody.
Was anyone gay in that 45?
There was one gay dude in the year above me, and I didn't happen to want to fuck him, so he didn't exist.
And so your options were pretty limited at that point.
Yeah, I also just wasn't ready to come out when I was any younger than the day I came out. When there were lots of people who were like, yeah, I know when I came out, but everyone has their own moment that is right for them, you know?
And your parents?
My parents couldn't have been more chill and supportive and open-minded. My dad, actually, when I told him that I was seeing a guy, said to me, that's wonderful. I am also attracted to men sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Yeah, I really appreciated him not only acknowledging that, but sharing it with me in this very, like, tender, you know, open moment.
It's like Teen Wolf when his dad is like, look, I also turn into a wolf.
Yeah, it's just like that.
Have you ever seen the movie?
No, but I relate to that because being gay is like turning into a werewolf at night. I'm totally...
I know. Okay, so...
Delete that.
Totally.
You pulled me into that.
Okay, so...
There's no whiskey left.
Yeah, you need more.
Pranks. Hello, Solomon.
Yes, hi. I'm wondering... I just got my clothes back... wash and fold.
Okay.
And it appears that one of two things happened. Either a red sock was amongst all of the whites, or someone bled out with all of my Hanes t-shirts.
Okay.
It's not even a nice like shade of red now. It's more just like an explosion, like an army vet.
You know, I had to check because my ladies is already go home.
Oh my God!
Yeah, the ladies is already go home, so I can ask because now I'm only me here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
shit.
Only
oh,
me
God.
Here.
Well, I guess I have no choice. Okay, I'll be the one wearing the bloody shirt. Thanks.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going? I wanted to check avails for an appointment. Excuse?
Hello, yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Are you ready to talk?
Because your phone, I can't hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, I was wearing a bag over my head. It's just a treatment, which I do in preparation for haircuts. Anyway, I'm wanting to come in, I'm thinking tomorrow morning, for a hair appointment, although I have a few kind of tricky little things that I do when I get my hair done, and some places are down with it, some places aren't, so I wanted to run them by you and see what your vibe is, basically.
Okay, when you come, I will recommend you. Is that okay?
Yep, that's great. I love that.
Do you have appointments?
Oh, an appointment? Oh, no. I would love... Let me make an appointment.
Time?
Let's do that. Anytime between now and next week. What's good for you? Tuesday?
If you want to come, just come. You don't need an appointment if you don't do haircuts. So do you want to do the haircut?
Tuesday at 8, I think you said, is perfect for me. So that'll be like a week
on
in a
Tuesday,
week.
Tuesday, right?
Perfect. Here's the thing.
Eight
o'clock. Perfect.
Okay, what's your name and phone number?
I'd prefer if I didn't have to give a name, to be honest. I've had issues with this in the past. But I will,
okay.
I if you could just call me Bunny.
Okay, Bunny.
Bunny, that would be great. Oh, great. I feel very safe. Thank you. This is already really good. Thank you. Okay, here's the thing, though. That's a little weird. I'm going to come in with my dog, and What I want, ultimately, is for us to have our hair cut together at the same time, in the same chair. We'll be in the same outfit. I'm going to bring an outfit for you. Maybe you could wear it. I'd love that. But I just like cohesion in the event. It's really important to me that it's just, you know, complete, tight, super well-designed activation. So if you're okay with that, that's going to be the vibe. And I'll come in. My name's Bunny. My dog's name is Bunny. I'm going to call you Bunny, if that's okay. And hopefully that works. So I'll be in Tuesday, 8 o'clock, and we'll do this thing.
Okay, you mean today, Tuesday.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye. I grew up thinking I only could be an actor.
Why?
And that's what I wanted to do.
Why?
My brother and sister both did theater growing up. I really admired that they did that. It seemed like a really cool community to be a part of. I wanted to, and I was good at singing and acting.
Who's your idol?
RuPaul.
Who's your second idol?
Rufus Wainwright.
Why is RuPaul your first idol? And you have to say whether you're kidding or not.
No, I'm not kidding
okay,
at all.
Good.
RuPaul is, yeah. I mean, I don't have many role models, but RuPaul is easily one because, I mean, RuPaul has made a career out of, A, being completely positive, self-loving, and inspiring of self-love. RuPaul has given people without much of a voice a venue to speak now and be who they are on his show. And anyone who just is so completely authentically themselves, so unapologetically, is going to be, I'll look up to.
So you like Rue?
I love Rue.
Have you ever met him?
I stand for him. I have not met him. One time I walked past him on the NR platform.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And?
At Union Square. And we acknowledged each other because I'm 6'5", and so he must be 6'5", or 6'4", or something up here. And so he was in a three-piece suit, and we smiled at each other because we were, you know, occupying the same
plane.
Yeah. And that was as far as it's ever gone with
what's that
Mr.
website?
RuPaul,
what's the website?
Myself.
What's the website where you write
misconnections? Yeah, on Craigslist. He didn't respond.
So did you write
mine.
In? Oh, you've been writing.
Yeah.
You
I've
keep writing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll keep writing.
I figured. And you shouldn't give up, dude.
Oh, thank you.
Because one day he'll definitely be on there and see.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll hear this. Why do you think I'm here? Why
right,
do you think I'm doing this?
This is your shout out. This mm-hmm. is your final chance to
yep.
win him. I want to talk about this relationship, though, with Fat Jew.
Okay.
Because, first of all, I remember him. He, like, DJed at, you know, my college party
mm-hmm.
10 years ago, or, like, 12 years ago.
Sure.
And we were just like, oh, this is this big, loud guy who, you know, is wearing a leather vest with no shirt and a ponytail. And then literally didn't think of him again for the next 8 years.
Uh-huh.
And he surfaced as Instagram was becoming more popular. And then, you know, and now everyone knows who he is by his stage name.
Yep.
His pseudonym.
Yeah.
So how did you guys meet, and what was the development of that relationship?
We met, I was...
You'll never forget the day you met, right?
I do, actually. I have no idea. This is funny. I was just talking to him about how we never remember the day that we meet people, and I don't remember the day I met him. I remember seeing him around, kind of probably in a similar vein as you used to see him around, and he was recognizable because he had a fro at the time, and he was in like a band that I had seen on MTV or something, and I knew his name was Fat Jew. And I was having lunch with my brother in the West Village, and he walked by with his dog, and I said to my brother, that guy's the Fat Jew, and he's really funny on Twitter. This is when my brother and I were starting White Girl Problems on Twitter, and so we both were kind of like burgeoning Twitter personalities.
How many followers did you have at that point? On Twitter.
Probably 8,000.
And how many?
Which was more than Kanye West.
Have? Really? At the time?
At the time.
So when
I don't
was
know
this?
How many he had.
2010?
More than us, probably. 2009 or 2010.
Okay.
And he happened to live across, Josh happened to live across the street from my brother at the time, and they then saw each other, kept seeing each other, and met on the street, and they've been friends since then. I officially met Josh through my brother, David, and we've all been friends since then and worked together on a bunch of projects. They've written a ton of projects together.
What does that mean, written? What are they writing? Instagrams?
No, they've written several TV shows that have not been made, but they've sold shows to Amazon. They sold a show to Comedy Central, and we all worked on Josh's book together. And yeah, we've also worked on like internet-based stuff too.
Does he write all of his own Instagram?
Yes.
And tweets and stuff.
Yep.
He writes all of it.
He does.
I think there's an urban legend that Fat Jewish had like a team of people finding stuff, sourcing stuff, and then writing his Instagram posts.
As far as I know, and I'm a very, very close person in his life, he is creating the content that he writes, and he finds the memes.
But doesn't that people helping him find the stuff is what I'm asking?
No.
That's a lot of work is what I'm saying.
But
that's a full-time
Nobody is on the internet more than Josh. Nobody. I've never seen someone scour the way he does, devote the amount of time that he does. He'll come to the office in the morning and have spent the entire night reading about one of the most obscure gypsy wedding traditions in Kentucky, you know, that you've ever heard. Like,
why?
Because he's just interested in like the ways that people dumb out and are crazy and unique. It's insane, his like encyclopedic knowledge of random quirky human behavior. I mean, obviously, I work with him, but I'm a big fan of his and I have a lot of respect for him.
Let me ask you another question.
Please.
Are you addicted to your phone?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm addicted. It's an addiction. It is stronger than my consciousness. So sometimes I'm on it I realize I'm on it after I've pulled it out. You know, I don't choose to do it. So I think that's a sign of an addiction. It's an addiction also because it totally occupies my brain. I'll look at something and imagine how it'll look like on a feed as opposed to like just what it looks like to me. Sometimes I'll make plans knowing how I'll like record it and then post it. So yeah, it's like it's an all-consuming thing. I guess really what I'm talking about is an addiction to like social media.
Right.
But I'm addicted.
It all starts with social media. And then who knows?
Yeah, then who knows?
That's like the gateway drug of phones.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, how many times have you pulled your phone out and just opened some social media before like even looking at the time? It's just like it's muscle memory.
That's what Instagram's counting on, by the way.
I know. Well, they know what they're doing.
We got to invent Instagram.
We should. That's That is such a good idea.
Why didn't we do that?
Wait, that's brilliant.
We should invent
Instagram. Whoa.
Why don't we just do that?
Yeah.
Tell me about your writing. Do you need like a certain pen and a pencil, and do you need a certain music that repeats in your headphones or something?
I have to listen to music. I have to listen to music, period. I normally listen to music without words, or I listen to this is when I'm like sitting down to write and with that express duty. Or I also listen to a lot of musical soundtracks.
And do you write when you're high?
Sometimes.
Are you better at writing when you're high?
No, not better. Sometimes if I write when I'm high, I have to then go back and edit when I'm sober. But sometimes there's still shit that gives me lulls from when I was high. And sometimes there's stuff that is really disappointing, you know, and shocking that I could ever think of something so
out there.
Yeah. And just like dumb and pointless. But you gotta
fight through it.
That's just part of it.
I sometimes will get in moods, not even being high. I'll just get in a mood where I'm thinking of crazy ideas, and I'll write it down. And seriously, I'll have convinced myself that it's
a
really good idea.
Yeah.
And then I'll shoot it to someone like, hey, listen to this. And it'll be like this long text. And they'll get it, and I won't get a response. And then, like, 2 hours later, when I'm out of that mood, I'll look back at it and be horrified.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, just kidding, sorry.
That wasn't even me who wrote that.
Right.
And why would I think that? It's the stupidest idea ever.
Yeah.
And no wonder they didn't write me back.
I mean, it's good ideas, in quotes, are like, sometimes, they're like, it's like a possession from, like, a spirit. And you you totally believe it. You think it's a reality.
Yeah.
Then you end up stepping out of that dream, and it turns out you're fucking dumb, and should keep your damn mouth shut.
That's right. Or you're just crazy.
Yeah. Or crazy. But you know, sometimes crazy is like when you do the best stuff. Sometimes when you're crazy, that's like the best idea you've ever had.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Drop-In. We are going to take a quick intermission from season 2, and that is a fancy way of saying a break. I wonder sometimes if theater lovers say intermission when they're breaking up with someone. Like if they say, hey, listen, it's not you, it's me, and I think we should take a quick intermission from this relationship. We're going to take a brief moment to reflect on the past episodes. I just really wanted to give you guys time to catch up on the ones you haven't listened to yet. So, do me a favor, go to atwillradio.com, go to itunes.com/atwill, follow @atwillradio on Instagram and Twitter, and follow me, @willmalnati, and that's on Twitter and Instagram too. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back soon, I promise.